tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome back to another episode of the original Season 2, Episode 20, City Beneath the Sea. I'm your host, Roxy Starr, and you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Starr. Alongside, we missed him so much last week, we're so glad to have him back, Donald Romain!
Hi, I'm Donald Romain. You can find me on Twitter at Tigris Hobbs, and I'm excited to be back.
And, of course, the beautiful, wonderful, talented Katie Campbell.
Hello, hello. You can find me on Twitter at Katie E. Campbell. That's Katie with three E's, Campbell.
And our incredible chat mistress, Tiana Hobson.
Hello, everyone. I'm on Twitter at the Tiana Hobson, and I'm in our YouTube live chat role right now. I love all of you guys. We have an exciting show, and yay!
Yeah, I think that some of you guys at home...
Yay. Katie says yay!
Some of you guys at home already know this, but more exciting than any of us on the panel, of course, is EP Mike Narducci in the house! Where can everybody find you? Where can the people find you?
I met at Michael Narducci on Twitter. That's it.
We're just so excited to have you in tonight. We're ready to pick your brain and talk to you as a fan of the show.
Great. I'm looking forward to it. Awesome.
He keeps thinking that we might be tricking him in some way, but we're swearing we're not. You guys know at home we're just the real super fans. You guys know, of course, you can find us at AfterBuzz TV, AfterBuzzTV.com, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV. If you're using the hashtag ABTV Originals on iTunes, on SoundCloud, everywhere you give us 5 stars, thumbs up. We love you guys so much, and we really appreciate everything you have to say. We read all your comments, and you guys are so incredible. Let us know how incredible Mike is and what a good job he is doing on this show. All right, let's get into it. Tonight's episode. All right, honestly, it was a little hard to breathe at some points, I'll say, because, guys, it's stressing me out what's going on with all these characters. I have to get your overall opinions. How was tonight's episode?
I think, first of all, the episode should have been called Here's All the Answers, because it gave us everything we were thinking of, everything we've been kind of, like, contemplating the last few weeks.
Yeah.
I thought overall it was a great episode. There's a lot of division now. There's a lot of different storylines, and I think that the best part about this episode is that I came out of it feeling like no one was wrong. Everybody has their own little personal reason.
That's what's stressing me out.
I feel like now is the time where you see who you truly like, because really everybody has a reason to do what they're doing.
I know, but what team am I on? I don't even know myself anymore. All right, well, you guys over there, how'd you feel?
I loved the episode. I just don't know if I can believe what Dahlia is selling to Klaus. I don't know. I can't trust her.
You're not picking up what she's putting down. I see that.
I feel the same way as Donald, where I feel like everyone has their reasons now. We know why people are acting out the ways that they're acting out. I still don't know who to fully trust, but I know that I was right not to trust Freya. That's all I gotta say.
When we get back to that Dahlia flashback, I'm gonna go ahead and defend Freya, but I'll just leave it till then.
Okay.
I'll just leave it till then.
And Mike, how about for you? How did this one stack up?
I really love this episode. I wanted to be here to talk about this episode. I think Charlie Charbonneau and Karina McKenzie did a great job writing it. I love Freya. I think there's an argument to be made that she is absolutely right. I agree with Donald. You know, I think one of the great things about this show is everybody's doing something different, but they all have a perspective. So I'm really excited that you guys felt that way, at least some of you. So that's good.
I'm going to need you guys to really make a strong case for her, because I am not a Freya fan right now.
Don't
worry. I got to tell you.
But why are you not a Freya fan? Because Dahlia said that she doesn't know how to control her power, so you're believing Dahlia?
No, because I don't feel like Freya has painted an accurate picture of who Dahlia is and what she has done. I feel like she's been manipulative.
See, no,
are we
this
going
is,
into it
this,
right
this
now?
Is, I guess,
here we go.
I guess, we're,
here.
We're here. We're here. We're here. We're here. Because I have to say, I think I have the answer to that. Now, I think Freya did paint like an accurate picture because it was from her point of view, and she was so strong, but also she was screaming like, "Where do you want me to go? Over to the creek? Over here? Can I see a human face?" And even Dahlia said that she wanted to give hope, which she didn't give to Freya, which was apparent motherly love. Like, she felt abandoned and alone, and she's only treated like an apprentice. Maybe she felt like a slave.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't fully grasp, and this is also the problem with their family. They just don't talk about anything.
Yeah.
And so I think my fight, yeah, for Freya, it's just coming from her point of view. She was taken from her family. She doesn't know her brothers, her sisters, her mother, her father. She's got this witch who's trying to help her control powers that she doesn't know how to handle. She doesn't know what's going on. She has no recognition of the outside world. She has she's locked in a little tiny tower, regardless of whether. I was going to make a reference to Once Upon a Time, but anyways, regardless of whether she's completely right in wanting to get revenge against Dahlia and not understanding her motives, she's still hurt. And I think she has the right to be hurt because she's missing, like, a motherly figure. That's my argument for Freya.
But yeah, she was isolated so long, and she just was held captive. So she, you know, is trying to protect herself. And she wasn't really necessarily going to put anyone in harm's way. We didn't hear from Freya that, okay, yeah, I'm going to put Hope in danger. She kept saying she wasn't.
I don't know what this says about Tiana and I that we're always the ones who are last to get on board with the character, but I'm just so skeptical, and I can see it in your face, T.
I'm just skeptical. I understand from her backstory, I understand why she is the way that she is and why she felt the ways that she felt, but in coming into the picture here, I just felt like there's always a secret. There's always that extra bit of information that we're not getting. So it's just harder for me to jump on board to fully trust her, because even at the end of the episode, we saw, you know, Elijah stabs her with Hope's blood after she assured him that it was fine to bring Hope around. And then she freaks out over it, and we don't know why exactly. You know, we don't have the full plan. But that was just another instance of, like, okay, clearly there's something more going on here that you're not telling
us
about.
Well, she does say, what if Dahlia senses that it's a ruse?
Right. Yeah.
And if this is my one chance in 1,000 years to lure Dahlia into a trap, into a place where she will be vulnerable, and then to use my family to help me kill her so that I can be free, it was the perfect trap if it was Hope, because we know she wants that.
Yeah. Mm.
But if it's not Hope, if Hope's not even here, and if we're relying on this ruse, this spell that Rebecca, of all people, a novice, new-bodied witch, is going to perform, like, can we trust that? I think that Freya is absolutely paranoid about the plan failing because she feels like this is her one chance.
Okay.
So she's a little bit nervous, and that's why she kind of had to get the family away from Klaus, because Klaus was a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if I have been a slave for 1,000 years and I've been forced into this sleep cycle and I have to rely on these people to help me, then I'm not going to risk it. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to make sure that it works, and I'm going to be 100%, you know, in charge of my own plan, my own fate.
Especially when we just saw them butcher their first plan to take her out with the dagger.
Right.
They messed it up already. So I do see what you're saying. But in the flashbacks, I was expecting to see Dahlia be this cruel, evil person to Freya, and I didn't feel like she was that way. So the fact that Freya keeps telling all of her siblings she's a monster, she's horrible, she's evil, yes, I get that that is her opinion, and she's allowed to have her own opinion, but I don't agree with that opinion.
Well, I would have to say that the only argument that I was actually going to be on board for Tiana was that when she was scared at the end with the Hope thing, I was thinking, like, maybe she's hiding something, but that makes a lot of sense, so now I'm just back on my own side. But I just want to say that, but my question, my thing is, I think the beauty of it was the fact that Dahlia wasn't evil and that she wasn't hard on her. And it's almost like in Into the Woods with the evil witch and the girl up in the tower.
Rapunzel.
And, like, in the end, they think that they're doing good. Or, like, Tangled. They think that they're doing good, but they're not, because they're being stifled. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I love Freya. Now I love Dahlia, too.
But we only saw the, in her head, the story that she wanted to show Klaus to get Klaus on her side. We didn't see the entire history of her with Freya.
So should we take a vote? Who believes in what Dahlia showed him?
Well, because, I mean, my mom said there's always three sides to the story. Yours, his, and the truth. So somewhere, we're getting two sides of the story. We've heard Freya's side. Now we get Dahlia's side. And so somewhere in between there, I think, is the actual truth, where we have to kind of paint the lines and believe.
And whatever you believe about unreliable narrators, if Freya was telling, you know, her side of the story in episode 16 and there was some exaggeration in that
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or if there was some exaggeration in what Dahlia allowed Klaus to see in her memories.
Yeah.
We don't know how much she manipulated that story. What we do know from the past episode, what we saw objectively, we saw Dahlia come in, snap legs, break necks, kill werewolves,
we did.
Threaten to take that child, tell Haley in a great scene where I thought Claudia Black was brilliant, you know, you have no hope, I'm going to take this child, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you're foolish to stand against me because I'm just going to kill you. So I think, you know, in my metric, anytime someone threatens to take someone's child, they're the bad guy. But forget about that, because then she went and she killed Aiden.
Yes.
So how anybody at this point could be completely sympathetic to poor Dahlia? She just wants to steal someone's baby and kill werewolves that I love. Okay, well, you know, that's her thing.
Let me throw something out there, because I think that's a really good point, but I've been thinking about this very black and white. If Freya is good, then Dahlia is bad. And if Dahlia is good, then Freya is bad. But is it possible that maybe they both fall somewhere on the spectrum themselves and it doesn't have to really do with one of another? Could Freya be good and Dahlia be not that bad at the same time?
I'm with that, though. I think the bad person here is Esther, because I literally wrote down, Esther's been making bad decisions always.
Yeah,
because I think that's who the real... Anyways, but I think that... You're right. I think Freya's good and Dahlia's bad, but not that bad. She goes about it the wrong way, just like Klaus.
She might be a psychopath, but at least she actually is trying to help Hope somewhere in her screwed up mentality.
Does that make it right, whatever she's doing?
Does it make what Freya did right?
Or Klaus?
But Freya...
Or Haley?
Freya's like, willing.
Sorry, anybody. My problem is they never talk. Why doesn't anyone want to discuss anything? Like this, like if...
Do
what
you want
Dahlia's
the
saying,
or Cammy?
I do. I'm so mad. Because if what Dahlia's saying is the truth, then why can't she tell Haley? She doesn't want Haley in the picture, but why couldn't she confront the family and say, this is what's going on? Why does it have to be an all-out war like this?
Why did she have to wait until Klaus was daggered in order to get him to see what she was trying
to
do?
Klaus doesn't listen.
I guess that's true, and he can only listen if he's passed out, but here's the thing with Freya, and I know we've mentioned it a couple times. Yeah. She is willing to put Hope's life on the line in order to secure her own freedom. And I believe that. I don't think she wants to have Hope be injured, but she's willing to do that in order to free herself from the grasp of Dahlia.
Well, she's fed up with everything.
Right. She's fed up. So that inevitably means that she can't be on our team. She's not on Team Hope, which means she's not on Team Haley, which means she's not on Team Klaus, which means she's definitely not on Team Tiana.
So you're saying Klaus is very reasonable for not trusting her this whole time.
Yeah, I think he is reasonable for not trusting her. I don't think he would trust anybody. I think he's pulling a mic over here and thinking that we're out to set him up and not trusting everybody.
Well, when we get to the wolves, I'm going to make an argument that Klaus is correct to have not trust Haley, because I was pretty shocked about what went down over there.
I gotta agree. And you guys, I know at home right now you're thinking, Clayley, we'll get there.
We'll get there. We'll get there, guys. This chat roll is all about Clayley.
Really?
It's kind of impressive that we can talk about it that much.
But sticking on the flashbacks, what else did we learn from seeing a glimpse of Dahlia's life and just seeing her with Esther at that time? Were you guys surprised about that and the way that Esther did leave her and wanted to go with Michael even after their city was ransacked by the Vikings?
No, because like Donald said, she always makes the wrong decisions.
I was shocked, and it honestly gave me a little bit of sympathy towards Dahlia, even though she's done all these wrong things. But like, I'm a sucker for a good story. And the thing is, to have your whole town ransacked, everybody killed, you and your sister survive, you're in here, you're doing dark magic for them, you're trying to find a way out, and then your sister goes and sleeps with the person who probably killed your other immediate family. I mean, she's got to have parents. Maybe they had other siblings, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And then she turns on you? And it's shocking to me. I can't believe that she would do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also thinking about the fact that she was the first child, and maybe she, the whole time, this was her plan, just to help. She just wanted to help.
Oh, well, and also,
she just wants to help the kids, guys.
I used to think that Dahlia was crazy for wanting the firstborn child, but it makes sense. In giving her sister a gift after she's turned her back on her, at the same time, she's going to make sure that the firstborn is not a liability to not only her sister, but everybody else. So, in a sense, you can say that Dahlia's actions, they have good intentions. But yet again, I don't know why she couldn't discuss this with Esther. She couldn't just tell her, but I don't know.
But wasn't she, according to the flashbacks that we saw in this episode, kind of brokenhearted that Esther would betray her?
Oh, like, yeah.
They had the always and forever bond, and yet she left her behind, and she went off to start her own family. It feels like one of the things that's interesting is that Dahlia's desire to have a family and to keep her family close by is very similar to somebody else's desire to keep their family close by no matter what, even if he has to dagger them and put them in coffins for centuries at a time.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Klaus.
Well, the other thing that's interesting, I mean, going back to Freya for a second, Klaus said to Cammy in the previous episode that we are all the products of our parents. Mm. So, you know, you might not trust Freya in the same way, you know, you were saying, is it a one-to-one relationship? If Dahlia is good, Freya's bad. If Dahlia's bad, Freya's good. It might just be that they are at, you know, at odds with one another, and they're both willing to do whatever it takes to get what they want. So there's, I mean, good and bad is kind of a, you know, subjective.
Right. And also recalling another episode when Klaus does deal with somebody he doesn't trust would be Michael. And just because he doesn't trust Michael doesn't mean that he can't use Michael to his own benefit at the time. Yes, he ends up killing Michael, but maybe he's thinking about doing something similar with Dahlia. Just because he's getting on Team Dahlia doesn't mean he's staying on Team Dahlia.
That's true.
A lot of times they're on their own team. We saw it with Cole. Cole is Team Cole. Klaus has always been Team Klaus, so I like that idea.
So what are the reasons Klaus has, by the end of this episode, to side with Dahlia?
Well, I mean, we're going to get to what Haley does, but...
Also, his siblings.
His siblings talking.
Yeah, his siblings talking, and just the fact that they daggered him in general. Yes, he's done that to them, but not... This is the point that I was trying to make last week so clear. His kid is on the line. His own daughter is on the line, and that's when they decide to dagger him. It's nobody else's business the way it's his business, except for Haley's. It's the two of their business, first and foremost. So Elijah and Rebecca can't make the call to dagger him right now because that's his child that he's fighting for. He's allowed to deal with it however he sees fit.
Can I disagree with you just for a second?
You absolutely can.
I think that from the beginning of the show, Elijah felt a strong sense of protection and love for that child. I mean, right off the bat.
Absolutely.
Even when Klaus said, let her die. Mm-hmm. Let the unborn child die. I don't care. Elijah was like, this is our chance. This is a clean slate. This is the opportunity to take 1,000 years of bloodshed and misery and torment and from that bear something beautiful, you know, and we could guide this child. So to say that Elijah would not have opinions about how to protect his niece is to kind of disregard Elijah Michelson as a character with a drive. And I think Rebecca took care of that kid for six months, you know, every day. Like, she was her mother. And we've always known about Rebecca, even from Vampire Diaries, that she wanted, you know, her own opportunity to have a family. And she's had a glimpse of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Hope has the most protective and loving aunt and uncle maybe in the world, you know. So I think that they are going to take a good look at things. Freya, who says she has a definitive plan to take down Dahlia and who has 1,000 years of history and expertise on how to do it, even if her methods are a little bit scary. And Klaus, who's kind of hijacked Freya's plan and who is behaving in a way that we have to think of as a little bit unstable, especially at the moment when they daggered him, they thought he had killed Aiden and jeopardized the entire point of the wedding, which led to a werewolf army, which was intended to protect her. And Klaus in that episode is raging about how I will be the one. Nobody can do it but me. They have to fear me, that, you know, I can be the only one. And it had to strike Elijah as a little bit like he's taking all of his neuroses and his paranoia and his obsession with self. He's taking it to the next level. And that is putting this little baby in danger. And you're right. It's a tough call. Who's more important to protect the child, the father or the rest of the family? And Elijah took it upon himself to say, right now he's unstable. I'm going to put him down. Mm-hmm. And when I take care of everything and this all blows over, I'll bring him back and we can resume our existence. But right now I, as the kind of family patriarch, I have to do this. And you can disagree with him, but I think it's very much in character from everything else we've seen from Elijah.
It's so hard to argue with logic, isn't
it? Oh, it is.
It is. I would have to say that I can agree and I can see why Elijah is kind of like the family patriarch, and he does want, he's always, hope is more than just hope. He's the idea of redemption, being able for them to be a family, and why Rebecca and Elijah care for them. But when it comes down to it, if Klaus had stayed daggered, when were they going to endagger him? Because they are going to let Haley and Jake Jackson take this child.
It was arbitrary. It and was so, when you know, Hope is safe.
When Hope is safe. So Hope at this point, like, well, I mean, is she safe? Is Klaus going to, like, what do you do with Klaus now?
Isn't it when Dahlia is done? Mm-hmm. Like,
when Dahlia's
done. Kill
Dahlia.
We follow Freya's plan, which will work because Klaus won't be around to screw it up. We're going to follow, and I'm just playing devil's advocate to you guys.
Yeah, no,
like,
of course.
You know, no, we follow Freya's plan. We eliminate the threat of Dahlia. We pull the dagger out, and Klaus wakes, and Elijah says, you know, Klaus, I know you're angry. I know you're going to search the world over, but she's gone, and you're never going to find her, and she's surrounded by a werewolf army. She'll be raised by her pack. She'll be raised with her mother, and that's as good as you're going to get because that was her choice, and I couldn't trust you, and that's the way. And will this cause a rift between these brothers? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Have we even begun to explore that rift? No. You know, thank goodness we have a season three where we're going to, you know, assuming everybody survives, we're going to have to explore these things. But that was the crux of the conflict and the decision that Elijah made, and we're still going to see the aftermath of that for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. It's a big decision, and I don't know if I could forgive him.
Yeah.
See, I'm on board with what you're saying, though, and I believe, like, I was with Elijah and what he actually did, because we are not going to be able to beat Dahlia when we're fighting each other over here on whose plan is best and whose plan we're going to take. So yeah. I understand.
T, I'm calling on you, girl.
Well, there's two things. One, I love that Elijah, when him and what's the other, Marcel, were talking about undaggering him when they found out that he didn't kill Aiden last week. Elijah's like, I'm not ready to deal with that sort of Shakespearean anger. That was just genius right there because, genius, you know, it was just like, it's true. Like, you daggered Klaus. He's now going to be so upset that you don't know what he's going to act out towards.
Right.
And I don't know, I feel like they did the right thing by putting him down in their mind, so you can't argue that logic.
Right.
You know, because they're thinking, okay, we're protecting Hope, we're doing the best thing. But they did kind of leave it open-ended where, okay, when are we going to then undagger him?
Absolutely.
That
I appreciate
the bigger question.
Their intentions are spot on, and I absolutely agree with that. And it's also difficult because we know vampires can't have kids, so this is their hope as the aunt, as the uncle, when they can't have... pun intended, this is hope. You know, but at the same time, this is the father. And I stand by that. Yes, you can have an amazing, you can have the best aunt and uncle in the world, and their intentions can be pure and good, but I don't think that this kid is going to be better off without a dad. And how long are we going to keep him daggered? And if he never could see his dad, if she can never see the dad again, I think we're in trouble.
So, question.
Yes.
Because online, a lot of people have that perspective. And I think it's a very valid perspective. But we've talked about, first we talked about Klaus, then we talked about Elijah, then we talked about Rebecca. Nobody's talked about Haley, the mother of this child.
Yeah.
So where's her decision? Like, I'm very, very interested in the conflict of a mother who recognizes that her child is in danger, and the father of that child may be a part of that danger. And what is she going to do? Like, what's the right thing? I mean, put it in the real world for a second.
Right.
If they take away werewolves and witches and vampires, Haley believes that her child is in danger, and she believes that the father of her child... Now, she doesn't have perfect information. She doesn't know that Klaus didn't really kill Aiden at the point of which she's, you know, starting this episode, you know, and knowing that she has to run and fearing that Dahlia is a threat. But if Klaus is not doing everything possible to stop the most dangerous person we've ever seen on this show... I mean, you saw the end of the episode. That storm is coming... Who, you know, put some sage in a bowl of blood and all of a sudden, I mean, she's the most dangerous thing in the world. Look, let me let the dust clear and then I can return to Klaus maybe at some day and say, okay, you want visiting rights? Fine. Let's talk visiting rights. But for right now, you're a fly in the ointment of our plan to protect our child. I don't care who you are. I couldn't respect Haley if she wasn't doing every single thing possible, even if it might be an unpopular decision, to protect her kid. And anybody who says otherwise is nuts. That's what I really do believe.
I am so team Haley, and I'm a Jackson and Haley fan just in general, and I get a lot of flack for that. But I think that what she did is great, because I like how you said take it out of context with vampires and werewolves. If this was the real world, and this is the leader of one of the most notorious gangs in the world, and he has a child, all of his rival gangs are now going to go after that child because they know that this is a point of weakness for him. So even after Dahlia is dead, then the other threats come. Klaus has pissed off so many people in his lifetime that the best thing for this child is to distance her from him for a little while until the world settles down or people realize, you know, maybe they think she's dead or something. And it's kind of the same idea that they had with Cindy and Hope with Rebecca in the first place, mm-hmm. was to get her away, take her away from all the threats. So why is it different now? Because people really were hating on Haley that she took the baby away from her father. And I'm thinking like you, well, no, if I were her mother and that were her father, I would want my child away from him, too.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I completely agree. My only question to that would be, do we feel like the wolves can protect Hope? And I don't think the answer to that is yes. So if I wholeheartedly believed that this is what was best for Hope, that taking Hope away from her dad and from the vampires and bringing her with Jackson elsewhere was going to mean that Hope was safe, then I would be on that team. But I don't think Hope is safe.
Okay, this is what I mean, I have to say that this is what makes this episode so hard, is that you can argue that everybody's intentions
right.
are solidly acceptable. Mm-hmm. And I do think Haley, I think she's in the right for taking the child. And I have a lot of respect for Jackson with how he handled the situation. Because he said straight up, look,
he laid the law
this
down.
Is my family. This is your family. I want to take care of my family. This kid's family is hurting my family. So if you want to be a part of that and you want to return to that, do that. But I'm going to protect my family. And Haley making that decision, it just changed everything. It gave a lot of acceptance for me for their relationship.
So I do want to talk about that moment. So I'm just, you know, here's the deal. When she does say that, I will do this, and kisses him and agrees to all that, I had chills, I was melting, and I loved it. And I thought at the time, yes, this is exactly what I want. But now I'm kind of thinking about it. And when you take on a marriage, you take on the baggage that comes with that. And to give her that ultimatum, you either have to be with my family or with your family. It's kind of, he put her in a tough position. And clearly it was okay that he did, because she picked it right away. And she picked his family. But does that make it right? I don't know. And so I understand why sometimes people are against Jackson's character, because he makes her make these tough decisions. Mm-hmm. Yes, his intentions, completely solid. But is that a fair thing to do to somebody?
See, I didn't see it as an ultimatum, because he just was saying, for me, I can't go back to living under Klaus's house and rule this pack, because we saw what was happening. Klaus was manipulating Jackson at every turning point. He wasn't letting him be a true leader. So Jackson's like, for me, I can't be there.
Right.
You can go back, and we will. I will respect our marriage. We will still be married, and everything will be aces and spades or whatever. But I can't go back there. I didn't see it as an ultimatum for her. Like, you have to choose one or the other. It was just, this is what I can handle from our relationship and with him. So let's find a way to work around it. And she chose to stay there because she's wanted this family. This is the family she's been searching for.
Katie,
not Klaus.
I want to get your thoughts on the non-ultimatum ultimatum.
Well, here's my thought is that I want everybody to get along and to be able to live together happily.
Yep.
But I understand everybody's reasoning for what they're doing and why they're doing. But if Haley wants to choose them, she, when this whole Dahlia thing is done, she needs to allow Hope to see her other half of the family.
Right.
Which is the Michelsons. So
you mean when Hope turns 18,
yeah.
then Hope can make her own
18?
Basically.
I mean,
dang.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great debate. I think, you know, the point you made, I just want to see everybody happy.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things I notice online is that everybody writes to me and says, well, can't they just get along? Can't they just talk? Why can't Klaus be with so-and-so? Why can't these two couples be together? You know,
yeah.
it just feels like at the end of the season, you don't want that, you know, happy, peaceful, you know, I mean, we're definitely building to the final episodes of the season, and there will be, particularly next week and the week after, you know, there's just some definitive changes that are going to be made to this dynamic.
We
and
wouldn't have a show if it
ever.
Also, when we take it out of context and we talk about real life for a second, this is how families work. Maybe not to this extreme, but...
Oh, this is
just,
real.
Yeah. You know, like, not everybody in the family is just all happy, but Katie says, yeah, so I understand that you just want sunshine and rainbows.
I do.
Maybe,
no, I'm on your page.
A lot of
the problems would have been solved if people just talked.
Yeah.
So I understand. I'm on the same page, but I do understand the rifts, and, you know, I have a brother, and there are times where I just won't talk to him, so I understand.
And we wouldn't have a show without all of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you did mention that what you want is people to talk, and I know I made a joke about this earlier, but I really think that this is where Cammy is going to come into play in this show, because she is somebody because of her training or whatnot, she gets people to sit down and open up. She even gets Klaus, the hardest person in the world to do that with, to open up. And in tonight's episode, she gets Vincent to help out our team after he's been like, I'm not doing it. And she gets him to. She's not magic, but she's got magic powers.
I love her character. And she's the one who said, I forget who she initially told, but that Klaus didn't kill Aiden. So, like, maybe Elijah. They're... Elijah.
Well, Elijah told her. Yeah. No, excuse me.
She told
Elijah.
So she's the one, maybe they can't talk to each other for whatever reason they have in their head, but she's going to pass it along to start making them think in a better way. Mm-hmm. I love her character.
No, I think that we're really, right now, we're digging tunnel space for her to come in and kind of mess around with, and I love that, because sometimes we feel like, or I feel like, she might necessarily not have a place on the show, kind of like Matt Donovan, where mm-hmm. it's like, on Vampire Diaries, he's the one who doesn't have power, so what's he going to do in this world? But I feel like she's making a name for herself, and she's like the vampire whisperer.
Yeah, I mean, can I talk about Cammy for just
you
a second?
You do, yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like... you know, obviously, this is a family drama, and mm-hmm. Cammy is a therapist. And what better person to allow these characters to interact with mm-hmm. than someone who has been trained in psychology? Mm-hmm. And yes, they've been around for 1,000 years, but the thing that it is most difficult to be an expert on is the self, you know? So Cammy is able to hold up a mirror through her psychological training and also through her kind of unique history. I mean, think about it for a second. We met Cammy. She had come to New Orleans because she wanted to investigate what ultimately was this devastating murder, mm-hmm. Suicide that her twin brother had participated in.
Right.
And, you know, we thought, how do we construct a character that Klaus might look at and see enough tragedy and sadness, and someone who had stared face to face with evil and would be, you know, able to survive and look at him in the kind of same way, you know? So she had to deal with what happened to her uncle, Kieran, who was turned into a vampire and who was hexed and mm-hmm. who ultimately tried to kill her before he was himself taken down.
And all the baggage that he left behind.
And all the legacy of the, you know, O'Connell family and all that stuff. So, you know, I think Klaus looks at her as, you know, this is someone who is in some ways, even though she's, you know, 20-some years old, and I'm 1,000 years old, we have a certain overlap of similarities in terms of grief and tragedy, and she has looked evil in the face, and she has been able to stare back at it. So certainly she can sit down with me and perhaps, you know, give me some of her own insights into what I am and what makes me what I am. And so I think he does enjoy talking to her, and I think we saw that Elijah also enjoyed talking to her, though he was reluctant, and though, you know, Elijah kind of belittled her psychology training because he himself had hung out with Sigmund Freud, you know, like, but there is something about talking it out that, and all of you guys are right, if these characters talked more, if they were able to open up more, maybe that would be better for them. So is that something that Cammy provides? Is that her superpower?
And mentioning that with Elijah, he says tonight, yes, you got in my head, but I also was able to see into yours, and I started to think about Cammy being a player with these brothers, and I saw a little bit of a Vampire Diary situation going on there.
No more sharing. No more sharing.
You never know. No, I didn't really see romantic vibes with them, but I do think it was interesting that she was able to get Elijah to open up. She'd been able to get Klaus to open up, and now she does get Vincent to help out a little bit, and we really need his help, because Davina right now is struggling. She's very powerful, but she's 17 years old or something, and we've talked about it this whole time. We feel really bad for her, and now Vincent goes to her, and he kind of offers her something huge, something game-changing for her. She's very, very skeptical of it at first. What do you guys think about this?
I want her to take it.
The first thing, I was watching this with my best friend, and the first thing I did was turn to her and say, all this power and my boyfriend back, deal. Give it to me. I was ready for it. So, like, I would have taken it to no questions asked. I would have done it. And it's an opportunity to see Cole come back.
With great power comes great responsibility.
And there's always a flip side to it, so I'm sure she's going to have to, like, she's going to suffer in some way for it.
T, what's going on?
If I were her, I would take it for those reasons that Donald said. As Tiana, who's over here more of the team, like, Klaus and vampires, I don't want her to take it because she has a vendetta out for Klaus. Mm-hmm. Always has, always will. And with all this extra power now, it just makes me even more scared for Klaus and whoever gets in her path, because we've seen Davina have very big mood swings where, you know, if she likes you, she loves you. If she hates you, she hates you.
Yeah, remember when she was painting up in that attic?
Yeah, so, you know, that's the part of it that would scare me with Davina having all that power. But it could happen to anyone.
Not to interrupt you, so sorry about that. But I would just like to point out that maybe I'm not remembering completely correctly, but I really feel like Davina's decisions have all been moral-based and on a very good scale. Mm-hmm. And even though she has a vendetta against Klaus, she never used that dagger until she felt like she needed to, and she thought that he killed Aiden. Mm-hmm. Now that she knows that he didn't kill Aiden, is she going to have such a vendetta against him? Well, yes, probably because he's going to team up with Delia. But I say make Davina powerful. Give them something to fight against, because I like Davina.
Yeah, so. I will say maybe she doesn't make rash decisions, but she makes emotional decisions.
That's true.
And, you know, that can get you into trouble, especially the more power you have. I want to get your thoughts on Davina as a character.
I mean, I love Davina as a character. I don't know that I would agree that she makes rash decisions or, you know, she does make emotional decisions, but who among us doesn't?
Right.
You know, like, mm-hmm. I think she was a girl who was kept in an attic for a long time and sided with the guy who saved her life. And then in an effort to manipulate her, Klaus allowed this boy that she really cared about to die, Tim. Mm-hmm. Last season, he died. And if someone you care about dies because someone manipulated them and because someone was trying to kill you, you're going to have a perspective about that. And it's interesting to me, a lot of times, you know, in fan response, we're willing to forgive some of our male characters for having vendettas and being angry and holding, you know, and wanting revenge. And sometimes when a female character does it, people are like, oh, well, she needs to get over that. And, you know, I think it's very true that she would be angry at Klaus. And I think if she realized there was a peace to be brokered and that would be for the betterment of her community or for herself or for Marcel, then maybe she would broker that peace. But she's not going to bow down to anybody. And I liked that she marched into that compound this season, having swallowed black bile poison, willing to risk her own life so that she could save Cole. Klaus bites into her and it takes him down. I mean, you know, that's a very courageous, strong move. And so what is she going to do now? This courageous, strong person is going to stop at nothing to bring back the one person who has been honest with her and has kind of helped her and has been good to her, and who is also, by the way, a Michelson.
Right.
So if Cole comes back and is alive and she could team with him, isn't there going to be a new opportunity for some kind of a peace? And maybe it's not that, you know, an empowered Davina would make a beeline to Klaus. An empowered Davina would hope to bring back Cole, and maybe New Orleans changes a little bit for some good ways. I mean, there's always a danger when someone like this accepts more power and has a mantle of responsibility that, you know, might put her at odds with Klaus. But I have a little bit of hope for her.
I do, too. If I'm going to feel comfortable with anybody having more power, I think it's going to be Davina. And it's really difficult because there's so many incredible characters, but I think Davina's been my favorite character on the show for a long time now, because I do think she is genuinely good. At her core, is genuinely good. And I think, yes, like you said, she does make emotional decisions, but I think she does it for reasons that, maybe it's because I feel like I would make those decisions.
I feel like when she does that,
100%. I'm like, I get that. I get what you're doing. And I love Colvina so much. I'm up at night, like, praying that he can come back somehow. So I'm rooting for her to bring him back so badly. And I think that's part of the reason why he's the missing link right now to make Katie say yay and have peace and justice with these families, to somehow merge the Michelsons and her and Marcel and all of them. And I think if he comes back, we really can do some good. So I'm praying that she can pull some strings.
That's definitely her drive right now. So she would agree with you.
Yeah, especially after she sees Josh lose Aiden, and she thinks another reason to hate Klaus. She thinks Klaus did that still. Right. Tonight we see that frickin' funeral, and what are you trying to do to me?
Destroy your soul?
That was very touching. As it floated away and was on fire from the back, a little bit blurry, the music playing, I was like, yeah, this is it.
I cried last night.
I cried.
I did.
Thank gosh. I was with you, Katie. Thank you.
Thank goodness they gave him a proper funeral. Oh, if they had just put him in the ground with I would have been so mad at Jackson. And Haley's the one who stood up for him, and I really appreciated that.
Well, who is it that said, who was it that told, I forget who's on the phone, I'm blanking right now, but they said a very important thing to Haley and said, you're either the queen or their friend.
Marcel.
And I was like, wow, it was poignant. It was very, this is true. And I think that Haley has it in her to be a queen. And so I think that she'll keep making decisions for the pack, not only for Hope, but for the pack.
But wasn't that kind of her being the friend too?
Oh, yeah.
Being able to, have the actual Crescent funeral.
Well, also, she said there's not a lot of morale in the pack right now, and I think giving him a proper burial really kind of brings them together.
And the flip of that is, if you don't give him a proper burial, if you just put a hole in the ground and throw him in it, what does that do to the morale of the people who are right now starting to wonder, why should I risk my life to protect the little baby daughter of the guy who killed the guy I love, Aiden, the guy I care about, the vice president of the werewolves, if you want to think of it that way. Like, why should I be risking? So Haley had to make a leadership move, and Jackson had to make a leadership move in order to garner some sympathy and respect and raise wolf morale by doing what they did.
Right, because they're thinking to themselves, worst case scenario, what happens to me? Do I end up in this ditch in the ground, or do I get this ceremony where people love and respect and say beautiful things about me? I completely see that.
And I love that Josh was there, too.
The fact that she invited him.
Haley let him know about it. Because one of my biggest questions after Aiden died last week was, wait a second, did he ever tell the pack about Josh? Because we'd seen, them kind of still keeping it a secret before. And then to see him go there and, oh, my God, he kissed his dead face and I lost it. And I'm trying to fight the tears right now.
I know.
It was just a beautiful moment. And I was like, I was so happy that Josh got to be there for it. And I know that we had Steven in last week and he was, teasing because we were like, is he going to flip off his humanity? Like, what's going to happen to your character? And I love the way that he handled it because he even told Marcel, what am I going to do? Go for revenge? Klaus is already daggered. And even if he wasn't, that's a death sentence on me because going after Klaus is just dumb. And then I love what he said at the end, that the idea of, being a vampire and living for forever was now, really kind of setting in of, it's going to be hard without
that
Eden.
Made me really sad when he actually said those words because that was a really happy relationship on this show, and everybody shipped them, and it's just taken away.
You're going to cry again, so it's just
does that leave us with Josh's character, though? What team is he on now? Is he Team Wolf? Is he anti-Team Vampire? Does he think that Klaus still did this? When does he find out that he didn't? What do you guys think?
I actually wasn't mad if he was hanging out with the wolves for a little
bit.
I kind of saw him out there. I was like, he fits in with them. But I like him out there.
I would feel like he's always felt lonely and doesn't have anyone to really belong to. And I don't know if the wolf pack is it for him. He's still got a connection to Davina. I think he should come back. Being with Davina is his place, I think, personally. Mm. So
It's interesting. I mean, could he be a part of that family? Does he really have family left? Does he have to go out and look? What do we have in store for Josh's character?
Well, first, let me say kudos to Karina and Charlie, who wrote that line about eternity forever feels like a long time. And I thought Steven did an amazing job performing, breaking down and crying. His moment with Marcel where he throws his bag.
He did.
Arriving at the funeral. I mean, it was really great, beautiful work on his part. I think he realizes that it's a dangerous world, this New Orleans supernatural community. And, maybe these werewolves have accepted him as the boyfriend of their, number two leader.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still werewolves.
Right.
And a bite from them, an argument. We've said on Vampire Diaries that werewolves and vampires are kind of natural-born enemies. So if Josh did get into some temperamental argument or fight or something or whatever, he's not going to go to Klaus to get cured. So that's kind of it. So I don't think there's, the safest world for him in the bayou. Does he return to Davina right at the time when she is now contemplating really ensconcing herself within the world of the witches, putting herself into a world where she's going to have to be a big player in the witch community. The witch community is not kind of nuts about vampires in general, especially after everything they endured during the reign of Marcel Gerard, not to mention
Aunt Josephine.
Klaus. So, he's in a really tricky situation. I think he's probably got to check in with Marcel and decide if he even wants to stay in New Orleans. I think he's inevitably going to learn the truth about what really happened to Aiden and how's that going to make him feel. And you know, there's more to come with Josh for sure. He's in a tough place.
I'm excited for his character arc because we really don't know exactly where he will turn right now, mm-hmm. and that's a cool place to be. And then guys, I know that we have to get to some fan questions for you, and mm-hmm. we got to talk about some ships. So that pretty much covers this episode. Here's the thing, you guys know from being on Twitter and all over social media. You guys are out there. You Clearly fans, you Claroline fans, even Crossing shows, you Steriline fans. Whatever two characters are on this Steriline. Show, yeah, people are, you guys are really going crazy. Mm-hmm. And we promised we would ask some of the hard questions.
Sure.
So, you know, the Clearly fans just want to know, Clearly, thoughts? Would it ever happen? Yeah, I mean, after tonight's episode, I'm thinking, how the heck could Klaus and Haley ever be together? Mm-hmm. He seems to hate her. By the very end, he is off saying, I never care for that girl much anyway. Well, then you shouldn't sleep with people you don't care for. But, you know, what are you thinking?
What a puritanical, very conservative. But, hey, you know, that's definitely a belief as well. I mean, certainly back in that moment, they had a physical attraction. Action to one another. He left her alive. You know, when anybody asks me about any ship in real life, in interviews, in my conversations with friends, even when people write to me on Twitter, I always say, you know, I, as a writer, staring at a blank page or a blank whiteboard, I can't think in terms of ships. It doesn't help the process, mm-hmm. and it diminishes these fictional characters as individuals. You always kind of start from a place of who these characters are and what their drives are. And clearly, right now, Klaus and Haley are diametrically opposed. So right now, in our long, serialized narrative, those two people are opposed. Does that mean that they're opposed forever? Does that mean there's no hope that they will ever be able to share a moment of solidarity or care for the child that they share, or, you know, be anything resembling a functional family, even if they are a kind of, you know, separated family, you know. Haley is definitely married to Jackson. Mm. Jackson is still alive as of, you know, right now. Haley is still alive, and we've seen her, you know, say that she's going to go off with Jackson. So, right. You know, from the, in terms of what Haley wants and what her drive is right now, I think that's your answer to Clearly. But here's the thing, you know, the other thing to keep in mind.
Right.
Klaus Mikkelsen is a long-standing, 1,000-year-old mass murderer, manipulator, narcissist, vengeful engine, like machine of death and destruction, with a long history of very bad interpersonal relationships. The only people that seem to last long in his company are his siblings, who are unkillable. So when people write to me and they're like, oh, what about Clearly? Why can't Haley be with Klaus? You know, is that the best thing in the world for Haley, you know,
right now, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Until Klaus decides that he wants to have a positive romantic relationship with someone, it feels kind of weird the number of people who really want him to be in a positive relationship. I think it's kind of ridiculous for Haley to be head over heels in love with a guy who grabs her by the arm and tells her what she's going to do and gives her orders and forces her to do things that she doesn't want to do and, you know, yells at her and manipulates her. I mean, he kind of manipulated her in a sense into that wedding. You know,
absolutely.
Queens don't run. He was basically stroking her ego in order to get her to do what he felt he wanted his daughter to have, to get this werewolf army. So, I mean, you know, is there hope for Clearly? You know, I'm not going to limit myself by saying one way or another.
It depends on where the characters go and
characters
how they develop.
But I am interested in why so many people love that relationship would be a good thing for Haley. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just a good question to ask yourself.
Absolutely. And
everybody's shaking their head.
One of the other specific ships that I wanted to ask about when we were over on Vampire Diaries, the last thing that Klaus said to Caroline was, you'll have many love something, I intend to be your last. Mm-hmm. And people have been wondering, does that carry over to the originals? Is there any way we could ever see Caroline over here? I don't even know if you know the answer, if you want to answer, but figured I'd throw it out there for you.
Sure. I'll
just
try.
To make you scratch your head a little bit.
No, I mean, you know, I scratch my head as I try and come up with an answer. I mean, you know, the thing I've learned, you know, is there's nothing I can say that's going to satisfy the Claroline fans. You know, if we had a crossover and it was just one episode, that wouldn't be enough. if we had Caroline come on to our show, that would be great. But obviously, you know, literally and physically, because of the boundaries of television production, that cannot happen. You know, like, Candace Akla is an amazing actor. You know, she has created this beautiful character in Caroline Forbes. And they had, Klaus and Caroline had this dynamic relationship that has inspired all these people to love Caroline. And I hear them. I can see them, and some of them don't like me very much, and sometimes that makes me feel kind of bad, but I also feel
like... I'm Caroline,
like,
I like you just fine.
Well, yeah, that's right. Everybody take a sip. I wish I could go out with them and have a drink sometime, you know, have a beer, and, like, you know, really talk about it.
I'm going to take you up on
But I do think, you know, I can talk to you about Marcel and Elijah and Klaus and Rebecca and Davina and Freya and Haley and Vincent and all those people, because as the executive producer on the originals, those are the toys in my sandbox. Those are the characters that I get to play with. Those are, you know, the writers, we get together and we obsess over these characters. We talk about them. We really do love them. I mean, it is our lives, you know, and, Caroline is not someone we talk about because Caroline is a character on another show.
She's not a toy in your mind.
Yeah, she's, and
he's
I don't
good,
mean to demean it in
no,
that way.
He's good.
You know, it's just that that's
he's
not,
so
like, I have a notebook right now full of ideas for season 3. It
Katie
doesn't
too.
It doesn't say, maybe we should get together. I'd love to steal some of your ideas. But nowhere in that notebook does it say Claylee. Does it say Camille? Or Camille? It doesn't say Elijah. I don't think of the characters in terms of ships. Mm-hmm. And nowhere in that notebook, nowhere in our whiteboards is there anything about Caroline. So that's a very fair. I'm not trying to string people along. I'm not trying to upset anybody. I know that the fans are out there that love Caroline, and I respect their passion, but you know, that's not the story that
you're
we're telling
honest,
right
yeah.
now. And, you know, if Klaus is immortal and Caroline is a vampire is immortal, you know, who knows what can happen. But I'm not going to sit here and say, I promise if you keep tuning in, because that's fan service and it's obnoxious and I'm not going
to
do that.
Right. And I want to get to one Donald question and then a couple.
Well, I was just going to follow up that with, because a lot of people are talking, you know, there's rumors about crossover episodes happening. Is that something, I mean, you say you keep your show separate, but is that something that is sort of discussed ever?
So, you know, here's the thing. We've talked in the past about maybe bringing one character over if the storylines were, and I've used the word organic, and everybody kind of rolls their eyes and say, oh, really, Narducci, organic, you know, GFY. You know, like, but I feel like what we're really saying is, throughout the history of Vampire Diaries, it is a true serialized narrative. It is, you know, each episode is a chapter in a longer piece. Mm-hmm. They're not really standalone episodes in terms of a crime of the week or a monster of the week or a case of the week. So it's really difficult to just tell one story. Like, we brought in Tyler last season because he was the villain of that episode and he supplied some very important information, and we kind of resolved the Tyler-Klaus hatred, which was this little bit of a hanging chad, it felt like. But, you know, then we kind of got rid of him very quickly. And, you know, Arrow and Flash have done an amazing job with crossovers. I respect them. They're awesome. But Ollie and Barry are friends, and friends can get together and hang out, and then they can go their separate ways, and it's cool because they're friends. Mm-hmm. But lovers, they get together, then you have to kind of break them up again, you know, and I don't think anybody wants to see yet another toying with emotions. Yeah. I think people want, most of what I've seen is, yeah, they want a crossover, but like I said, I don't think that would satisfy anybody. I don't think that that's what Julie's vision is for these characters. And, you know, bringing one character or another to the other show, that's really not possible right now. I mean, clearly, Caroline is a very important part of Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want to hear my philosophical kind of question, is Caroline really the kind of character who is going to fall helplessly in love with the guy who killed her best friend's aunt?
Right.
Is she going to fall helplessly in love with the guy who killed her ex-boyfriend's mother?
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to allow herself to really have, I mean, you know, maybe now that her emotions are off, maybe that is, you know, something that could have happened. It's not something we're going to play.
So you've been watching.
Of course. By the way, I love Vampire Diaries. You know,
amazing.
I have a lot of friends on who write for that show. I love Julie's work. I love Caroline Dries's work. I know the directors. I know the crew. I mean, I work with those guys for three years. They're my friends. It was very tough to leave them. I'm a big fan of that show, but I'm also a huge fan of the originals. And
we're gonna tell
the stories that we tell. And I understand people get very passionate, and people can be very mean on Twitter. And I would encourage people to think before they tweet, and to remember that everybody is a person. Mm-hmm. And you know, we should probably all exercise a little more kindness in our lives, myself included. I've been a little bit curt with people online, and I've deleted a lot of tweets before I sent them. Oh, really? Claroliner 95, you want to say that to me? Oh, you know. I sometimes wonder what Klaus would do if he got some of these tweets.
I have to ask a question that I think a lot of fans are pressing to know, and you don't have to give me a yes or no, just maybe a little bit of hope, but Claire Holt is was my favorite actress on the show, period. I turned off for a couple months because I was so angry.
I get it.
I'm back now. I think the actress you guys chose is excellent,
maybe,
and
Richardson
the only
Sellers
person I think
amazing.
Maybe I would have accepted.
Yeah.
But is there hope to maybe see a return of Rebecca in her original body in the future?
Well, here's the thing. I love Claire. She was an amazing performer. You know, when my kid was born, Claire sent me an email to say congratulations. I mean, she's the nicest person in the world. I think she defined that character for a very long time. And then we lost her as a performer on our show. And we kind of wrote her off in a way that I thought was eloquent. And I thought maybe some fans
didn't like it.
You know. Okay. I was very excited that she didn't just die, you know, that character, you know, she and Klaus found a resolution and that she drove off into the sunset. And then she came back in order to take care of that baby, which felt right to me and true to her character.
It's pretty seamless.
And now Rebecca exists in this new body. And whether or not she will ever have reason to return to her original body, you know, even if she has to do it before she, you know, she's also kind of made this promise to Cole that she would find a way to bring him back. She's also always, you know, according to her character, we've always known, wanted a family of her own, which she can have now that she's the owner of this mortal human witch body. She can't have that in the Claire Holt body. So there's all these kind of things at play.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you this, we love Claire. We want to have her back on the show for as many episodes as we can get her. We know that we'll have her back in flashbacks, and we know there's always a possibility that she can come back.
I'll take it, Claire. I love it.
You've been so amazing. We unfortunately are out of time, but your answers are absolutely incredible, and we really appreciate you coming in. Can you tell everybody where they can find you in case they have more questions that they want?
You can always write to me on Twitter, and just my name on Twitter, at Michael Narducci. The place I really hope fans find me and the work of all my friends is Monday nights at 8:00 on the CW. I really love this show. Yeah. I love these characters. I don't care about ships, but I love the individual characters
and the plot, and
we want to tell the best story possible. And we love our fans, even the fans that are very passionate about things that I myself might not necessarily be passionate about. I'm very inspired and impressed by them, and we're going to keep trying to tell the best stories that we can. I really love our writers, and they're working really hard, even right now. So tune in. Next Monday night is an episode that I wrote that I'm really fired up for everybody to see.
Now I'm fired up. Yeah. Thank you so much. You really were incredible.
Yes,
Donald, where can everybody find you?
Twitter at Tigris Hobbs. Everywhere else at Donald Romain.
Katie.
You can find me on Twitter at Katie E.E. Campbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell. Instagram at KatieCampbell13 and YouTube.com/KatieCampbellOnline. I do a weekly vlog.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at TheTianHobson, and I also can say that next week we have Yusuf Gatewood
coming in.
So be sure to come back to our after show because we'll be right here at 6:00 on Tuesday.
Talk about amazing character arc.
Yes.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. You can find us at AfterBuzz TV, AfterBuzzTV.com, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV, on iTunes, on SoundCloud. Give us that 5 stars, that thumbs up. We really appreciate it. You guys are absolutely incredible. Huge thank you to Mike Narducci. You were amazing tonight.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
See you next week.
Pleasure. That was amazing.
Good.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.